You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get, except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. Come get some. Beware, IGN GameScoop. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week is Justin Davis, Scoop, Tina Amini,
hello, hello,
and Mark Medina.
What a do.
And we've got a great show for you this week. We're going to talk about a big game that was expected this fall. It's been delayed into 2020.
Ooh.
Got to talk about a lot of
actually like that.
Next gen news. What, you like that it's been delayed?
Yeah, for selfish reasons.
Okay, save it. Save it for the show.
I was saying Boo Earns.
But first, PlayStation 5 is what the next PlayStation will be called.
Yay.
We're all now very surprised.
Now we know, and knowing is half the battle. Mm-hmm. Lots of new details about PS5 this week. Coming holiday 2020, the first release window, the first next gen release window.
We did get some real news.
Yep. About like hardware stuff.
It's real news.
Yeah, but I also like that they just got out of the way. Like it stops us from having to do that awkward, like the next PlayStation. Mm-hmm. Like
Xbox Scarlet.
And like, you know, we knew but didn't really know it was coming 2020. And we knew but didn't really know it was called the PS5. So I appreciate that, like, let's just put that to bed.
Yeah.
It makes it easier to write about, that's for sure.
We get to say PlayStation 5.
Now. Yeah, not what we assume is PlayStation 5. Mm-hmm. And we assume comes out in 2020.
Mm-hmm. Are they just going to keep it forever? Will there eventually just be a PlayStation 10?
Yep.
I think so.
Well, it'd be PlayStation 10. It'd be PlayStation X. Hmm. Gotta be.
Yeah.
Damon, do you remember those ads? There were ads, was it PS2 or PS3? They were like fake, and it was an ad for like the PlayStation 9.
Yeah, something like that.
Mm.
Like, yeah, I remember them.
Their vision for gaming in the distant future.
Yeah. So what do you guys think? Holiday 2020, you guys feel like you'll be ready to buy a new PlayStation?
Yeah.
Sure.
I'm already ready.
You're ready. You'd buy it right now.
I would. Well, the thing is I have two PlayStations at my house, and one of them is on its last leg. And I have to just, this Black Friday, I have to go buy a PlayStation for a year. I'd rather just replace them both. Two PS5s.
Yeah, that's fair. I never upgraded to the Pro, so I'm definitely ready to.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
I think people that got the Pro or the Xbox One X, particularly the One X that's doing 4K in a more competent way, like, you know, maybe they don't feel quite as ready to upgrade, but I skipped both, so.
Probably smart of us.
If you want a PS4 deal on Black Friday, you can just read all about it on IGN Deals, by the way.
Thanks, man.
I said that as a joke, but they'll probably be like $150.
Last year they had the Slim, and it was like $200 with Spider-Man.
Yep.
And so it's like, is it going to be $200 with Borderlands or Death Stranding or something like that? It's like, that's what I'm looking for.
You want a Slim? You don't want a Pro?
Well, so it's for my wife, and so she doesn't care about the Pro. I have a Pro, and she has my launch PS4 that is just like, it has PT on it, so we've kept it around. But it really doesn't even accept discs anymore. It's just kind of like, and you got to be like, get in there. So I'm just going to buy her a Slim because she doesn't care.
I think this is the year, and it's going to get even worse last year, where many game developers have just kind of given up on making games run in like a good, competent way on like a base Xbox One and base PS4. Like, Control, as amazing as that game is like, it's a, you know, there are problems with running that game on a base PS4, and
it's the most egregious of the bunch too.
Yeah, and I, you know, I only saw like an animated GIF on Reddit, but like the new raid in Destiny is having problems on a launch Xbox One. Like, it's just slow.
I think that's like what I'm ready for. I'm ready for developers to once again be able to make console games for one console. Like, instead of being like, okay, here's Assassin's Creed Odyssey. Yeah. And this somehow has to run on the launch Xbox. You know what I mean? Like, now it's going to be like, this is an Xbox Scarlet game. This is a PlayStation 5 game.
Yeah.
I think that's what I'm ready.
However short that window of time may be until
there'll be a console revision. There'll be a little bit of a crossover, too, where they're still making them for PS4. But
yeah. We got a bunch of hardware details on PlayStation 5 as well. But I also want to point out that the way Sony is rolling out information about the console continues to baffle me.
Mm-hmm.
Very strange, I think. Highly unusual.
What part about it?
Well, it was a PlayStation blog post. Like, they're not having a big like showcase like they had for PlayStation 4, like a big event, you know.
Well, it's consistently been through Wired magazine too.
Also,
it's
strange.
Every time Mark Cerny's in the area, he's like, "Hey, by the way."
It's almost like, what does Wired have on Sony?
That's my theory. Like, they must have dug up this, because this occasionally happens where, you know, a reporter may dig up information and they say, "Hey, we're going to run this story," and then the publisher decides, "All right, hold on, we'll play ball so that at least the story as it comes out won't be this fragmented thing."
I mean, I think a lot of it is dev kits are getting in the hands of more and more third parties. Mm-hmm. So some of the details, like, I speculate that that's why we got controller details, is because controller prototypes are probably already in the hands of people that are not Sony employees anymore. So it's like, even though they're under NDA and everybody's a professional, like, once that stuff leaves your four walls, like, that those details are going to kind of start leaking anyway.
Yeah. Maybe they left it at a bar around the corner from Wired's office. Would not be the first time.
Deep cut.
I mean, wouldn't that also be around the corner from our office then?
I know. We don't go to the right bars.
Yeah, that's true.
True. But Sean Layden is leaving PlayStation, or has left.
Mm-hmm.
Which one? Which one?
I'm not sure. It announced that he was leaving. I don't know if it's like...
Yeah, I mean, in general, that announcement was also weird because they normally do something more formal like a blog post. But they just did this like innocuous tweet.
Yeah.
And so everyone was like, wait. That's not how they do things.
Thank you for your service. It's almost like going into the next generation of PlayStation, like, they don't really have, they have Shuhei Yoshida, but aside from that, they don't have like a face of the brand.
Yeah, it's like Jack Trenton was there and ushered in the PS4, and then he left.
Yeah.
It's kind of strange. It's like, happening
the timing
on this side.
Is, like, you would think like 12 months from now, once everything is baked, the console's done, the launch lineup's decided, like, that would feel like a better time for maybe some executive departures.
Yeah.
Feels a little early.
Yeah, I think so too.
Well, maybe intentionally so. Like, if you're not prepared to usher in the PS5, now would be the right time to leave so someone else can sort of like pick that up and then decide to be the face and carry it out. Leave a little less confusion.
Yeah. Mark, you want to do it?
I'm down. I kind of want Mark Cerny to just run everything. He's like tech, you know, in the garage inventing things and stuff like that. I can just picture him being like the face, being at E3 and just being like,
I like the eggheads.
I guess.
All right, well, let's talk about some of these details then. It's getting the new controller, which they don't think they've called the DualShock 5 yet, although I would assume that's what it's going to be called, will include haptic feedback, which is fancy rumble.
Yeah.
Fancy rumble. Yeah, that's one of those like gimmicky things that could be like when the DualShock 4 came out and it had like the light reactions where like if you're getting shot, it turns red. It's like one of those gimmicky cool things, but I never really pay attention to it.
Well, that was in Xbox One's controller from launch, and like racing games used it.
Yeah.
And that's about it.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone talks about the fancy rumble in the Switch controller.
Yeah.
And like, I think it's completely overrated. Like, it just feels like rumble to me.
Mm.
Plus, like, one party game, one like a
one-two switch.
Exactly.
One-two switch uses it. Mario Odyssey used it a little bit.
It could be a case of developers just not, you know, optimizing for it.
Sure, but it's also. But I guess my point is that since this already exists and has been underutilized, it's not the most exciting next-gen feature.
No,
not quite.
I think I know you're going to get to it, but the triggers sound more fun to me.
Adaptive triggers.
Yeah.
So developers will be able to. Through the coding of the game, we'll be able to change the tension that you feel on your triggers. That's interesting.
So it should feel more like, you know, aiming down sights will be fast and easy, but like pulling back a bowstring might have more resistance on your finger. That stuff seems a lot more intriguing to me personally.
Yeah, that can be cool.
It could be cool if you're doing, I just thought of it, like if you're playing something like a Dark Souls, if you have like a smaller sword, maybe not you, but if you're playing, if you have like a small sword or like a heavy sword, maybe it's heavier to swing. And so
that sounds miserable.
It's like tighter. I don't want that. Supposed to be miserable. The sword's huge.
Fair enough. So is Dark Souls. It's miserable.
Then I wonder, like, should the player have control over that? Should they be able to turn that off if they want to?
1,000%.
Yeah.
Personal opinion.
You can turn off HD Rumble on your Joy-Con.
Yeah. Yeah, but I also think people are like overstating. I think it's a cool feature and I'm excited about it, but you're never going to be like forcing the trigger down. It's going to be like pretty minimal, right? So I don't know.
People need to be doing finger exercises in preparation.
In the name of accessibility, like, you know, I love the Xbox. What's the name of their new
The adaptive controller.
The adaptive controller. Like, should they give people complete freedom to remap the controls how they want? But I don't know that there's a particular, you know, accessibility concern around, you know, adaptive triggers.
Yeah. Quality of life improvements. The controller is supposed to have a higher capacity battery, which is very nice because, man,
my PS4 is bad.
Yeah. Like my DualShock 4 will last hours, a matter of hours before it has to be charging. It's really bad.
If that.
Yeah. If that.
Players, I think ray tracing is the most exciting.
And they said it's slightly heavier. Sorry, the last thing on the controller.
But not as heavy as an Xbox controller with batteries inside.
The PS4 controller is uncomfortably light. I want it to be a little bit heavier.
A little bit more substantial.
Also charges with USB-C, which is very exciting because I love, you know, being able to flip. It doesn't matter what, you know, you just plug it in and it goes. Great.
Tina, what excites you about ray tracing?
It's just going to make things look beautiful. And it's cool that, I mean, it's something, so, you know, I don't know, it comes from a long history of developers trying to make games look more, have the lighting look more realistic. So like we used to have rasterizing as kind of our go-to where it's measuring how light looks. And then we had like cute little advances from there where it's like shadows and reflections, but now you can do that in a far more realistic way. I think the way that it's been described is it's like a physics-based look on the image rather than a creative-based look at it. So it's going to be far more realistic. And when you look at something like Red Dead 2 and it's so beautiful with its lighting and it's God rays coming through the trees and whatnot.
God rays. Wow.
Yeah, but imagine what they can do to make that look even better.
You can get ray tracing with really high-end PC GPUs now, but it's sort of like, it always comes with this asterisk of like, you're taking a major, major performance hit and the game has to be kind of optimized around it. So I'm excited about it in the next gen consoles, but I'm also sort of like taking it with a grain of salt of like, are you doing real ray tracing?
Or is this
like
checkerboard ray tracing?
Like, so I have a little bit more of a wait and see approach there. But I hope that the custom AMD GPUs in both consoles actually are, you know, powerful enough to be able to pull it off.
Game installation will be mandatory even when playing from discs, but they're changing it the functionality a little bit, so you could choose to just install the multiplayer mode in the new Call of Duty if that's the only part you're interested in.
It's like a PC approach. They've had that.
You can already do it on PC.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't know. Like you can just install the multiplayer.
They also talked about booting directly into specific game modes, having more control.
Booting into a specific level in a single player campaign. That's cool.
Which is actually what Stadia touts too. So that's just a generalized next gen kind of feature.
Well, you know, maybe you're going to get to this, but I am worried about the mandatory installs and storage size because
you're in your SSD. You mean?
Yeah, because the consoles are coming with, you know, they're both coming with sort of custom. Again, this is another one that I'm like, I'm taking a wait and see approach because I don't know how much of it's like, you know, marketing talk and how much is real. But supposedly, you know, custom, badass, super fast SSDs that let them do things with, you know, read speeds off a disk that, you know, haven't been able to be done before. But like that shit's expensive. Like SSDs are more expensive than like old school hard drives. And so, you know, we already see like the new Call of Duty is like 150 gigabytes.
Yeah.
So if these games have mandatory installs and they're huge, and like an SSD is already pricey, like that's a not insignificant cost to the console, like a 1 terabyte, 2 terabyte SSD baked into both of these consoles. And like, I always, like they always talk about their console being, you know, $499 at launch or $399, but that's always for like the cheaper model. But it's like, if you want to get the nicer model, that's already $100 more that has a bigger hard drive. So I don't know. I do have a cost concern there.
I wonder if it became a thing where it's like, yo, some of these games, especially like all the Call of Duty's over 100 gigs, and they're like, what can we do? And that was one of the solutions was, well,
sure,
people are just going to play multiplayer. Let them do that. Cause it's like, It's true. It's like I only play Blackout on, you know, Call of Duty Black Ops 4. But I have to have this like 130 gig game on my thing for the one game mode I play.
And it's usually like, at least on PC, it's usually like audio files, right? It's like you're getting the game audio in like eight languages, and that's like half the installs.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I think Red Dead on PC is 170 gigs or something.
I think it's 150.
That's insane.
That's crazy.
That's too much.
I mean, it was already Gears 5. The Xbox version's like 110 gigs already.
So. I remember getting Half-Life 2 and it was 5 gigs, and I was like, what? Those were the days.
What do you think is the preferred hard drive size then? Because today you can get the higher end consoles with 1 terabyte, right?
Mm-hmm. They're probably going to launch with 1 terabyte. Like, I hope they don't launch with less than 1 terabyte.
Yeah.
And even that's going to feel like enough at the time. But we already know it's not going to feel like enough in like 5 years.
Yeah,
like I fall into this trap where like I can only install like 4 games on my PS4 now.
Mm-hmm.
My launch PS4.
Yeah. No, I'm always having to.
Yep.
Delete stuff.
And then it's like delete stuff. Yeah. Well, and then I have to make I make these terrible decisions. Where like I never beat Red Dead. I'm made it like halfway through it, and like my hard drive's full. So it's like, do I give up? Is it time to just?
Is it,
I just need to let it go and just delete Red Dead.
You have to face some serious facts about your backlog and just be like, I'm going to admit it. I'm not going to finish this.
I definitely negotiate with myself. Where I'm like, this game I'm going to beat someday. But then part of my brain is like, no, you're not. Just delete it.
The real part of your brain.
You keep your save file.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, if you ever did re-download it, you could.
Exactly.
It's just tough though, because when you wake up on a Saturday morning and you're like, "Whoa, I have nothing to do. Wow, I really want to play."
Justin always feels like that.
And you're like, "Wow, I really want to play Assassin's Creed Origins." That could be hours until it's downloaded.
We are leading very different lives.
Oh yeah, I don't have kids.
screaming at my daughter to get her shin guards on. You gotta wear them.
Yeah, you have to wear.
You gotta wear.
Get kicked in the shins. Don't want to get kicked in the shins, do you?
She just wears them all the time. Just all the time.
She's not even in soccer.
Well, she has a sister, so you know.
Got it.
And then there was a quote. If this is true, this is very exciting for me. Marco Thrush of Blue Point Games, the guys that did the Shadow of the Colossus remake, said that the PS5 is getting back to the instant loading of old cartridge games.
That's going back to the SSD thing.
Yeah. Which, sure. Yeah. And I guess they gave some demonstrations of that, of how fast Spider-Man was loading.
Yep.
Also recently.
That was like the first thing they showed. It was like 16 seconds. And then it was like, nope, a second and a half or something like that.
And I hope that's true.
That has a lot to do with mandatory installs. Like, it's not streaming information off the disk.
That's also a PS4 game. We'll see.
Well, yeah. That's
when it comes to actual PS5 games.
So yeah, how guys, you said you're ready to buy a new PlayStation next fall. Are you getting excited for it? Does it sound like,
It's great.
Oh man, next gen.
It's the best time to be a gamer. I mean, it's expensive. Like my wallet cries a little bit, but like PS4 and Xbox One launched, that was like the best year and the best fall. It's so exciting.
Everyone gets far more energized, including like developers and the industry. Like there's just so much more that people start to talk about, games that they want to experiment with, and then there's just the range of beauty of how much we can get out of it. So yeah,
well, it'll make E3 nuts, because like that's they're true. Going to announce them in February, March, April. Like that's they'll have their own events
full
for the consoles
at E3,
and then it's like full details, launch lineup, all that good stuff. So that'll be fun. I've never worked here for like a big console.
The console launch?
I was here.
Very exciting.
Have you seen our PS4 unboxing?
I did. Uh-huh. Yeah, we were going to try to replicate it with the Switch, and we just never got it together. But yeah, it was like 30 people just all unboxing it at once. That's great.
We didn't do one for the Xbox One.
No, we didn't.
I got one at
like two people.
Are you going to
get? We got next year.
Well, yeah.
Redo.
So, Mark, what year did you start here then?
I started in 2015. So I was here for the Switch, and I was here for the Pro and the X. But like, you know.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting because these consoles they're for sure either going to, I doubt they'll come out on the same day, but at least within a week or two of each other.
Even though I don't like console war bullshit, like I do like it around the launches because you get, like, we just don't know. All you have is sort of what the developers and publishers are saying about their boxes until you get it in your hands. Then you can actually see, like, as it slowly unfolded, like, oh no, the Xbox One is like markedly less powerful than the PS4. And I like that sort of corporate gamesmanship level of it.
For all intents and purposes, it seems they seem super similar so far. So it's there isn't much that we can go into opinion wise with it. But once it comes out and we actually see how that unfolds, it'll be far more exciting.
Also, all about the games.
100%.
I like seeing the redesigned controllers too.
Yeah. The actual box controls, the designs too.
Mm-hmm.
Console launch lineups are generally pretty lackluster. Even the PlayStation 4. Rezogun was the killer app
yeah.
on the PlayStation 4 launch. So
it had a,
just wanted to remind you.
No, Rezogun's great.
You're forgetting about Knack?
No, I didn't. So we're in the end game now in terms of the PlayStation 4. Mm-hmm. It has about a year left. Mm-hmm. Of course, there's some really big, super anticipated games coming for it. But now now that we kind of have a window of time when it's going to be eclipsed by the PS5, when you look back at all the consoles that you've owned over your life, how do you feel about the PlayStation 4?
It's great.
Is it up there? Is it like,
I love it.
It's one, weird. PlayStation 4 for me shifted because I always used to be an Xbox girl. Like, yeah. hands down, that's yeah, where I played all of my multiplayer games.
I was an Xbox games. Girl.
Exactly. You and me, Damon. But like with the PS4, because there was this marginal difference in graphical fidelity, everyone just sort of hopped onto that mentality and switched over to the PS4. So all my friends are always on the PS4.
Yeah.
I think they were first to like the well, real name ID.
And, Xbox yeah, was $500 when it yeah. came out.
Well, and, it yeah. was, and some of that was overblown, right? Like the PS4 oh, yeah. is more powerful, like full stop, but like I played plenty, like I played Witcher 3 on Xbox One and like Dragon Age Inquisition, and like those games are beautiful and great
yeah.
on that
it
console,
was a minor so, difference between yeah. the two yeah exactly, and then with Pro and Xbox One X it was very on par with one another, but by that point it didn't matter, everyone had already migrated.
Mm-hmm. Well, so
yeah, it transitioned to me, I guess.
Let me put it this way, what do you think is your favorite console that you've ever owned?
I haven't owned a lot of consoles, to be honest. Yeah, my first honestly. Console was a PS2.
For me,
I mean, that's fine. Is that your favorite?
No, honestly, I don't know. Probably PS4. But
there's got to be a soft place in your heart for the first one that's like truly your own. Mine was also a PS2.
Yeah, like PS2 getting, I didn't have a memory card for the first week. And so I got to this, like, I would just pause like Final Fantasy 10 and stuff like that. I would just pause it because I'm like, I have no way to save.
I've had some very good times with my 3DS. It used to be like, I used to be as attached to it as my phone. And I liked Friend Pass, and it was just such a big deal at PAXs for a while there. Obviously not so much anymore, so maybe the Switch, just because you can keep it around with you at all times. I think it's your little friend in your pocket.
My heart says, you know, N64, GameCube. Hmm. Like, that was what I grew up on. It's like a teenager, and when I first started, you know, getting interested in this as a career path in college, like, GameCube came out in, 2001? So, you know, I was in high school. But, you know. Yeah, that's it, actually. I don't even...
So, N64, GameCube.
But, like if I were to compare those lineups, like, I probably wouldn't even say they have the best lineups. But, like, for me and my personal gaming history, that's where it's at.
Yeah. If I'm being honest, if I think about the console that had, like, the strongest library, that I played the most number of great games that are, like, in my top 100 list, and that the console that had the most exciting new features to me that really felt revolutionary, it's probably the Xbox 360. Mm.
It's a good choice. Good Halo days.
I
wasn't playing Halo.
God damn.
I built a gaming PC. I talked about it a lot on Scoop, you know, what, 2-3
yeah.
years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And like that changed, like now I like don't really care that much about the PS4 and Xbox One anymore. Like they get dusted off when they have an exclusive, but like everything they say about like PC superiority of like, if you have a choice, like if a game's on everything, why would you not play it, you know, through Steam? So that sort of changes my opinion on the console race to begin with.
Yeah.
I've spent a lot of time playing Counter-Strike and World of Warcraft on PC.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that goes along with it.
All right, let's check in with listeners.
Hey, listeners.
Listeners, remember, you can always reach us at the email address, gamescoop@ign.com, just like Erkan Ali in Toronto, Ontario, Canada did. Says, longtime listener here, thank you for the awesome entertainment you bring us every week. With the PlayStation 5 being officially announced today, I guess that's true. What does this mean for games being released in 2020? Would you anticipate a decline in PS4 software sales as people would rather wait to play these games on the new hardware or even remastered and upgraded versions dedicated specifically for the PlayStation 5?
We talked about this on Scoop. You know, I've brought it up a few times.
Yeah,
we're really
mean
in this,
for like 2020, Cyberpunk.
Q1 and Q2 are stacked, right? Like, yeah, they're mm-hmm. completely insane, but like those games do exist in this no man's land where it's like, oof, I don't know if I can wait to play Cyberpunk, but you know there's going to be a more badass version of it like under a year later.
Although you'll technically probably be able to play most of them with PS Now, at least.
Yeah.
No. That doesn't count.
Well, I'm just saying, like, should you wait or should you play them at launch?
I don't think people are going to wait.
Yeah, no one's going to wait.
I think everyone's going to play Last of Us Part 2 and Cyberpunk and Final Fantasy VII Remake.
It depends on how close Ghost of Tsushima is to PS5 is like the only one I'd consider. But I mean, we work here, so it probably wouldn't happen for like us.
That's why, you know what, why game developers are scrambling so bad to get, like, they want a double dip. Like, we got to get it on last gen so we can get people again.
That's pretty smart.
That's the usual theory.
And then building on what
the negative theory
Mark just said, I actually think Sony should pull a Twilight Princess and make Ghosts of Tsushima a PS5 launch game, but also have it available for PS4.
They might.
Yeah, they could. That's the like one big one that doesn't have a release date. But
yeah,
and I remember I was talking on Slack about it. I was like, I was never sure if Ghost of Tsushima was a PS5 game or a PS4 game. And then in the PS blog for the PS5 announcement, they said, like, there's anticipated games still for the PS4, and they included Ghost of Tsushima. So they definitely plan on hitting this console.
Yeah.
But if they're going to hit during the holidays, well.
Yeah, right.
Might as well do both.
I think for the first party games, at least, for Last of Us and Ghosts, they should offer people like an upgrade path. Like if you have the game on the PS4, maybe a cheaper way to upgrade to the, you know, digital PS5 version. I wouldn't expect that of like third party developers. But at least for the first party stuff, I think that would be a nice gesture.
I think I'm just going to wait a year to play Death Stranding. I'm going to wait. Oh, I'll wait for the definitive.
I was just going to ask, the PS5 is going to arrive about a year after Death Stranding. So
yeah.
There'll probably be some definitive edition that's probably there for the launch of PS5.
Everything I already peed on.
There's just mushrooms everywhere. You just can't even walk.
No spoilers, but I read the ESRB description of some of the mature content in Death Stranding.
Mm-hmm.
There's some spoilers in there. It's I'm just putting that out there in case anybody's interested.
I'm interested.
I'm not going to say what it is right here. But, lots of interest in PS5 this week. This is Tyler from Grand Rapids, Michigan. Says, greetings, Omega Cops. With the official release of the PS5 announced, and as I start guessing what the price point will be, I was wondering what your opinions are regarding purchasing consoles when they are released. I purchased the PS4 when it was released, but ended up upgrading to the PS4 Pro when that released shortly thereafter. Well, it was 3 years later. Mm-hmm. Do you think it's better to purchase a new console right away or wait and see what changes could be made, such as price, memory storage, etc.?
It really depends on your take. Like, this is just technology, gadgets, widespread kind of theory where people are like, oh, I'll let people be the first year guinea pigs before I jump on something. But, I mean, if you're more excited, like we all probably will be, and also professionally obligated towards.
That's part of it. We're in sort of a unique position where we kind of have to be on top of this stuff. I also want to be, you know, I want to be part of the conversation at launch. But we've talked many times on GameScoop about how great it is to pick up a console towards the end of its life.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the best feeling.
Because it's cheaper, and then you have this huge library of amazing games, and there's nothing wrong with waiting a little bit.
If you didn't own a PS4...
Right now? Oh my gosh.
And you get one on Black Friday, like $150.
Dude, you're playing God of War, you're playing Spider-Man, you're playing Horizon. Oh, it's so good.
You don't need a PS4 to play God of War.
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
But if you don't have a gaming PC.
Fine.
Yeah, you know, video games are my primary and only hobby in life. So, financially, launch lineups are almost never good. Like, you can wait a year and save $100 and the games will be cheaper and yada yada. But, like, I can't do it. I'll never be able to do it. It's been a long time since I've not had a console at launch.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well,
I find the money. I don't even have the money. I just conjure it.
Yeah, I think the same could be said for like all tech. A lot of people are like, I'm not getting the iPhone 11. I'm going to wait for the iPhone 11S. And it's like, sure, like you could always do that. It's weird. It's happening with cars right now too. It's like I browse Tesla forums and people are like, well, I'm waiting for all of the features for the Tesla Model 3 to come out and be, you know, done, and then I'll buy one. And I'm like, that totally makes sense. And then I think about what Teslas were like 2 years ago, and you're like, I'm kind of glad I have one now because they kind of sucked back then. Yeah. It's always weird.
But the serialized smartphone thing is almost like, you know, there's a perspective there that it's very consumer unfriendly, right? Because it's like you're constantly obsoleting the old phones. But my perspective is that like it gives people the like that reliability of like, you know, in 12 months there's going to be a newer, better iPhone. So it's like, I'm making the choice right now, like, do I buy this one or do I wait 12 more months? Like, people, that reliability, I think, in upgrade cycles, people can bake into their budgets. And, like, game consoles, I think, would benefit from that. Like, if we get a half step again in another 2 or 3 years and that just becomes the thing, then it helps inform people's purchasing decision around launch.
Yeah, that's true. I want to get back to something Mark said. You said your PS2 is your first console.
Yeah.
But you haven't owned very many consoles.
I have not.
So let's go through them. Did you have an OG Xbox?
No, I could just tell you them all right now. So I had a PS2.
Uh-huh.
I had an Xbox 360. And then PS3 at the very end of the life cycle, I bought it just for Last of Us because I was like, good choice. Get that.
I just waited for PS4.
What's that?
Could have just waited for PS4.
I didn't know.
Should have known.
And then a PS4. And now I have an Xbox One as well.
What did you do before the PS2?
Well, let's see. I got the PS2 when did PS2 come out?
2000.
So it was 12.
Oh, you're very young. That's what's going on.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. It's
okay.
We didn't have a ton of money growing up. And like, I would go to a cousin's house to play Super Nintendo and stuff like that. But it was like my first, like, this is yours. I had a Game Boy, like, you know.
Yeah, sure.
But like, yeah,
just
my first,
a Game
like,
Boy, an OG Game Boy.
Just the first, the great Link's Awakening is possibly the first game I've ever played. Oh, I'm not 100% sure. But then, yeah,
not even
the
Tetris.
First,
that's a good question. I don't know the first game I played.
Yeah, it was either Link's Awakening or Kirby's Dream Land for Game Boy. I'm not sure. But the first, like, yeah, like this is yours was a PS2, and I got it, and I, like I said, I didn't have a memory card because I didn't know that's what you needed.
What was your favorite game on PS2?
Final Fantasy X, 100%.
Yep. If you just replace
that
everything,
Tina's favorite game on PS2?
Yeah, and PS2 was also my first console, and technically had an original Game Boy, but my brothers never let me play it, so yeah.
You want to know,
somewhere out there, my Final Fantasy X is just paused. Still, I'll get
too.
Back. I'll get back to it.
Yeah, same. Okay. I've replayed it a few times. Stop right before Sin. Do it all over again. Anyway,
yeah. the first game I can remember playing is we got an NES with Duck Hunt and the Mario Kart, and that's my
not that, Mario Kart, but
excuse me,
on the cart.
I meant Mario Brothers. Duck Hunt and Mario Brothers on the cart. Yep. Correct. But when we opened the NES, I lost my mind and was so excited and jazzed. So I clearly already, like 5-year-old me, already knew video games. But those memories are lost to the sands of time. So the first, I only remember playing Mario and Duck Hunt first.
This episode of Game Scoop is brought to you by NordVPN. As Scoop Nation knows, your Omega Cops have been a little obsessed with a movie called Weekend at Bernie's lately. But as happens too often these days, it is difficult to find it streaming here in the US. That's where NordVPN comes in. With NordVPN, you can switch your virtual location to a more enlightened region where they appreciate the comic delights of Weekend at Bernie's. And it's not just for streaming movies and shows. Switching your virtual location can allow you to save money by purchasing flights, hotels, and subscriptions from other countries at a cheaper price. And you can do all this worry-free as NordVPN threat protection features protect you from viruses, malware, and phishing sites. Best of all, NordVPN costs the price of a cup of coffee a month, and one account can be used on up to 6 devices. To get the best discount on your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/gamescoop. Our link will also give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. That's nordvpn.com/gamescoop. 1 in 5 Americans has learned a new language on their bucket list, or life backlog, if you will. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Upgrade your personal skill set in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Its tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and deliver with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. I have a trip to Mexico coming up, so I've been using Babbel to brush up on my Spanish. The courses are short and sweet, so I can do one whenever I have a few minutes to spare. And the words and phrases it teaches you are designed for practical, real-world use, like ordering at a restaurant or asking for directions. Babbel can even provide you feedback on your pronunciation with its speech recognition tech. And it's not just for Spanish. Babbel includes 14 different language courses, each backed by a 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for Scoop Nation. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, only for our listeners, at babbel.com/gamescoop. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/gamescoop, spelled BABBEL.com/gamescoop. Rules and restrictions may apply.
All right, let's move on to another another next-gen adjacent question. This is Joe Barrett in Orlando, Florida. Huge fan, longtime listener. It seems over the years that each new generation of console tends to come out around the same time as the others. Think of the head-to-head battles between the PlayStation and N64, Xbox and PS2, the Wii taking on the 360 and PS3, and of course, Xbox One and PS4. Mm-hmm. With the Wii U doing so poorly last generation, it's no wonder that Nintendo wanted to shed themselves of that mistake and move on to a new console. Do you think the launch of the Switch in between console generations helped with its success? Obviously, the system being portable, having great games, is ultimately why it's succeeding. But I can't help but wonder if this system had launched against the PS5 and new Xbox, would we see the same outcome?
Yeah, I think so.
Think so?
Yeah, I think that allowed them to carve out their own space. And yeah, I completely agree with that thesis that if that were coming out alongside the next-gen consoles, it would be stacked up head-to-head with them more directly. Like, should you buy a Switch or X? And I love my Switch, but I don't know how favorably it comes out in that head-to-head comparison.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there'd be a lot more editorials around the comparisons, but at the same time, like throughout its lifespan, the games that come out for, especially because Nintendo, obviously, it's exclusive to their platform, like people will follow where the games go.
Yeah.
So it would eventually do fine. Just be a lot more opinions around the launch.
I mean, I also think the last questioner, we didn't even get to his question about price. Like, I do think the next-gen consoles are going to be expensive as hell. Mm-hmm. So,
hey, Mark Cerny said it was going to be appealing, I think, was the quote.
And the Switch launched at $399 and now has a pretty reasonable, $299, and now has a reasonable $199 option. So it's like,
yeah,
that's not to be discounted.
Yeah.
I kind of like that the Switch comes out in the off season when it comes to consoles.
Like, they just do their own thing. They're not really thinking in the same next gen vein that Sony and Microsoft are.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think of the Switch as really being a competitor to PS4 or Xbox One, but it's interesting to think that do I only think that because it did come out on a different,
it did
different
muck
cycle?
Up, it mucked up the console generation. Like we used to call second gen, third gen, fourth gen, but now thanks to Switch, it's all thrown off. Switch and Wii U.
Plus, even in their marketing, they don't speak about their consoles the same way that Sony's been doing recently with these announcements. They're not like touting out all these, bringing out all these like major numbers and saying like, look how fancy these bullet points are. They're saying like, look how cute these Joy-Cons are and all the cool, unique things you can do with it and all of our first party games.
Joe also asks, could we ever see Sony or Microsoft releasing a new console between generations as well? Or is Nintendo the only one quirky enough to get away with this and succeed?
Well, he was right the first time where they didn't have a choice.
Yeah.
The company was in real trouble with the Wii U, and so the Switch had to come out now. Like, they ended that generation abruptly.
Well, you could maybe guess the same thing about Xbox, but maybe they're just part of a giant company like Microsoft, and they're not...
Well, the One X and Game Pass, they pivoted mid-gen anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think if either of those console companies had a major bomb console, they would hit the reset button and end the generation early.
Mm. Yep. I think so. Yeah, I think Xbox was never like in trouble. Like no matter what, they were still getting games that were comparable to PS4 games, where it's like with the Wii U, like it pretty much lost all third-party support. And then any first-party support, like... That nobody, it's like, hey, buy this game for a console nobody has. And so
I mean the OG Xbox was lagging so far behind the PS2, and then the Xbox 360 did come out a year early. Mm-hmm. Like, so they're not always directly head to head.
That's true. So Microsoft is like a distant second place to PS4 this generation. Yep. Next gen consoles launching next year. What happens in the next generation if Microsoft can't gain market share?
They stop making consoles.
Can they survive as being a distant second?
But I think they're just redefining, like, even the statistics that they share on their success. Like, they, what do they talk about now? Active players. Yeah, yeah. Like, they're not even talking about like copies sold.
Yeah.
Like, so
engagement.
Total engagement, total days played per month. You know, like that's where their head's at now.
Well, it's because they don't, I feel like they don't look at like how many copies of Gears 5 sold. It's like how many Game Pass subscribers do we have? Mm-hmm.
And, everything being playable on Game Pass day one, everything being playable on PC, like Xbox is, a lot of people claim like, ooh, we're not a console, we're an ecosystem. But like they're the only ones actually delivering on that sort of like marketing bullet, in my opinion. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think estimates put the Xbox One at about like 40 million-ish sold. But I don't know, next gen, can they sell another 40 million if they only sell half that?
Is it
worth it to keep going? I'm just wondering out loud.
I don't think they're thinking about it that way. I think how many people can we get?
They need to make money.
Subscribed to our service, and then they don't. I think that's what they care about.
It's weird because, like, I don't know what you did, Justin, but three of us have already said that we had 360 and went to PS4. Is that what you did as well? Or
I had all of them. The PS4 became my primary console, so I made that same migration.
I feel like that's not going to happen again. I feel like times are different now. Even if the Xbox was a smidge better than the PlayStation 5, most of us are people who are ingrained in PS4's ecosystem are going to just get a PS5. Like, it's no question in my mind. I don't care what the specs are. I'm getting a PlayStation 5.
I don't agree with that at all.
You don't think so? No. I think
console launch and that transition period is hugely dangerous and a super spooky time for all those console manufacturers. Like, they completely reinvent, like, you know, new name, new design, new OS. You know, it's completely foreign and different, and it's absolutely a chance for one company to take a big bite out of another if one of them stumbles.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest news that we don't have between the two are, like, what are their launch lineups, which may be weak, but then what are their exclusives? So it's going to be completely dependent on what games come out. So where do people want to play their system is where the most exclusive games that they're interested in are going to be.
Are you both on the fence? Like, are you both, like, from what we know right now, and obviously when they come out, you can do whatever you want, but it's like, where you are right now, you don't know the price, you don't know the specs, you don't know the launch lineups. Are you on the fence, or do you just assume you're going to get a PlayStation 5?
I think if I weren't working in the industry that we're working in, and I had limited funds, I would be selective and wait to see what are the exclusives going to be, so what do I actually want to spend my money on? Mm-hmm. And I'd probably wait for not even necessarily the launch of the console, I'd wait for the launch of the game that I was most interested in. Like, say Cyberpunk 2077 was an exclusive, and that's the one I wanted to play, I'd wait to see which one is it going to be announced for, and then buy it same date that Cyberpunk comes out. Not that it is an exclusive.
Yeah. I think they don't have that same grasp, that ecosystem hold on, like Apple would need to screw up so badly for me to leave, you know, the App Store ecosystem and just what I've built up there in my life over the last decade. Like, but that's not the same in games. Like, it's easier to jump ship from, like everyone's like, oh, I have my achievements and my gamer tag and I want to leave that behind. But then everyone's like, well, okay, maybe I don't mind leaving that behind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I kind of feel like I'm on that first part, though, where I have, I think it's like 13 platinum trophies. I pay for PlayStation Plus that I've already got until like 2021 or something like that. Mm-hmm. It's like the PS5 would have to be terrible for me to just be like, I'm an Xbox gamer now. Like, I'm probably just, I've never missed a PlayStation Plus free games.
Yeah.
So I own like 400 games that I'm going to be able to play on PlayStation 5 because it's backwards compatible. I'm not, you know, it would have to be a total disaster for me to switch
and
over.
I agree with Mark. I think I'm in the same boat. If just knowing what we know today of the next gen consoles, I'm assuming that I'm just going to continue on into PlayStation 5.
Because you don't play Halo.
You talked about exclusives. Xbox hasn't had an exclusive I've been interested in a generation.
But they're aware that that's an issue for them because they just bought up all these third parties.
Maybe they have something cool to me that they're going to announce. Yeah. But
that could be the other thing, too. Is like, we know Spider-Man 2 is coming. We know God of War 2 is coming. Horizon Zero Dawn 2. Yeah. And like, that's kind of Death Stranding 2. Kojima's already said he's working on his next game. And so it's like, I kind of already can see PlayStation 5's lineup already. And so it's like, obviously, we don't know Xbox's lineup.
Xbox bought at E3 what looks 8 or 10 like really notable dev studios, but that's not going to bear fruit for like a little while. Mm-hmm. Like, they're going to kind of have to hold on for dear life until some of that software gets ready.
They've also been super quiet, not as much as, they're not at Sony's place where they're revealing a lot of this stuff. So there's a lot of unknowns.
I think, you know, console exclusives are, you know, a big thing, and that does sort of blunt somewhat the need to buy in wholly into one ecosystem. There's not like, even if you're a big Xbox or PlayStation fan and loyal to that platform, like, you're probably still toe-dipping into Steam and other places, you know, Switch. Like, you're not playing any Nintendo games except on that platform. So there's already a little bit more willingness to, you know, cheat on your primary console.
As long as it's not looking, you're fine.
Let's learn something about
an IP address.
Let's move on to something else coming in 2020. Doom Eternal has been delayed into 2020 out of November of this year to March 20th of next year. And I was surprised by that because that leaves Bethesda with nothing for the fall. Mm-hmm. And as just a company that puts out a big fall video game every year, I would assume they could have used that cash. But I guess not.
And probably the reputational increase too.
But maybe that's why this game is really important. It's been a year of nothing but bad news for Bethesda, and they they must realize they need Doom Eternal to be a hit.
I mean, what's going on at id though, right? Like, that game, by all accounts, like, you know, showed really well at E3, seemed to be trucking along fine, but now, like, not only was it delayed, but the Switch version is even further delayed, and some mode that was going to be in at launch is now a post-launch. It's going to be included after the already delayed launch. So it's like, even a big chunk of that game is past March even. So, you know, not that, like, I hope it comes out, hope it's great, but it's like, it's definitely unusual in 2019. Like, when we were growing up, I feel like games like, well, this game's not coming out for another year later than we said it was going to be. Ocarina of Time was delayed like two, you know, but that doesn't seem to happen as much anymore.
Well, I don't know.
I'm sad because spring looks way more stacked than fall did. And well, now, like, Doom Eternal was, that was my Thanksgiving game.
It's coming out the same day as Animal Crossing. What are we going to do?
You won't play like Death Stranding on Thanksgiving?
No, well, because like Death Stranding comes out on the 8th, right? And so it's like, I'm not like crazy excited for Jedi Fallen Order, to be honest.
I am. I can play that over Thanksgiving.
I want to play it, but you know, but it's like Doom Eternal comes out on the 22nd. Literally, Thanksgiving is like the 24th or something like that. It was perfect, and now it's coming out with Final Fantasy and Cyberpunk and Last of Us, and
it's the same day as Animal Crossing.
This fall's really empty. Like, it's October. Like, normally it'd be just like hit after hit after hit, and like, it's sort of
no Assassin's Creed this year. Nothing like Tomb Raider. Like, Borderlands came out in September already.
Oh, Watch Dogs is spring as well.
Modern Warfare looks good.
Modern Warfare. It's coming.
It's coming. It's coming.
Whether you want it to or not.
You're going
to
play that one?
Oh, yeah. I've been playing a lot of COD Mobile. That game is really fun. But yeah, I'm very excited for Modern Warfare.
Yeah, the reason why I said selfishly, I sort of appreciate the shifted timeline, because we do a lot of our Game of the Year award voting, and it just makes it more complicated because there's a lot of prep that goes into that. So
I've been thinking, like, what is going to be the game of the year this year? I don't even know. I really don't know.
Sekiro was this year.
Yeah. Sekiro was this year.
But there's nothing like God of War or Red Dead 2 that really stands out.
Like, unless Death Stranding is incredible.
I mean,
right.
Like, we really don't know.
A lot
like
of people have their personal game of the years, like Goose Game's been thrown around, Mario Maker 2.
I think Borderlands 3.
Goose Game's not going to be game of the year.
It's some people's personal game of the year.
Okay, sure.
Outer Wilds is pretty impressive, though.
Yes, I forgot about Outer Wilds.
Yeah, that's a problem.
That is a problem.
Yeah, because I frequently do, too. I'm like, oh, yeah, that was this year.
The same day as Call of Duty.
But that's not Outer Worlds, right?
No.
You're conflating.
Yes. I actually didn't like Outer Wilds that much.
What? Why?
That's what everyone says when I say that. I don't know. It just felt, I was kind of bored. I played for like 3 hours and I was like, this is kind of boring. Stop playing. Sorry, guys.
You went to the wrong planets.
Alrighty. I went to where I was supposed to go.
There's no such thing.
What are you talking about? They told me, the guy on the phone told me to go to a place. And I went there and I was
Several people are typing.
That's not 3 hours. That's 15 minutes, no, man.
How much did you play No Man's Sky?
Boring?
Hold on.
Now that's a good video.
You're allowed to like or not like whatever you want, right?
Sure.
So please understand that I'm not giving you a hard time for that.
But when you say
you played that game for 3 hours and you went where you were supposed to go, you go somewhere and then the world blows up.
And you die.
And then you die.
Yeah.
Wow. Spoilers.
And then you go wherever you want.
Yeah. I don't know. It was just kind of boring.
Okay.
But No Man's Sky.
You're voted off the island.
No Man's Sky. Now that's a good game. That's a good game. I don't know. I think. I love it.
I would like to play Outer Wilds. I wish it would come to PS4.
It is coming to PS4.
They announced it.
When? Like
October 15th.
Oh, I did.
I thought you were making a joke.
I didn't see that.
I thought it was a joke, too.
I also thought it was a joke. Yeah, it's next week, I think. It was October 15th.
Well, that's great.
It was announced the same day as the Doom Eternal stuff. It was a busy news day. It's been a busy news week.
It's also coming out the same day as Switcher 3. So everyone's going to be playing the Switcher.
I'm not going to play that on Switch. But I will play Outer Wilds on PS4. You know what else I've been playing on PS4 that just came to Oryx, is coming to PS4 very soon, is Frostpunk.
I have it. I have it in my Steam library. I never played it.
It's cool. Real-time strategy game where it's post-apocalyptic future. The world is frozen over and you're like trying to build up the last city and keep your people warm. And you have to like build shelter for them and harvest resources. So it's cool. Very cool game. And they pulled off the controls really well on the DualShock 4 controller. Very pretty game. The game is kind of a bummer, though. So I don't know how much I played a few hours last weekend, but it's just like, you know, there's like no hope for your people. Eventually everyone's probably going to freeze and die. So I don't know. It's kind of like, well, I don't know.
Super motivating.
I know. I don't know how much time I'm really going to spend playing this, but it's a cool game though. Interesting game.
David's like, I feel like being bummed out.
Yeah, exactly.
Spunk.
Anyone else playing anything cool before we jump into 20 questions?
Oh, I played Concrete Genie.
Oh yeah.
I beat it in almost one sitting. It's very short. Mm-hmm. I am like a trophy or two away from the platinum, which took 8 hours. Like, it's very short, but it's super fun. It's really, really cool.
Is it a spray painting game? What is that game?
Yeah, it's like a puzzle game. You're just figuring out puzzles, but there's only like a few major areas, and it's like, you're painting, and it's like create a genie, and you get to create it however you want, and then it comes to life and it is animated. It doesn't matter like what you did to it. The game will kind of figure out how to animate it, and it's just fun. Really, really cool.
It's just also fun. IGN.com.
Mm-hmm. I finished Link's Awakening.
Oh, good. I'm still playing that.
I feel really good about it.
Yeah.
I don't finish a lot of games.
But not the end.
Everyone's going to hate me for that.
You don't feel good about the end, do you?
I mean, depends on how you interpret it, I guess.
Okay.
No spoilers.
Yeah.
You like the game?
I liked it a lot. Yeah. It was a very good, come home from work and kind of unwind and play that and pick it up and drop it whenever.
Where would you rank that in your personal list of Zelda games?
I haven't played enough to do a proper ranking, so I wouldn't do that.
I'm the same way. I have.
You refuse to answer the question.
I refuse to answer the question.
All right, that's fair.
I abstain.
Justin, what's the latest Apple Arcade hotness?
Well, I finished Cat Quest 2 last night.
There you go.
It's mid-table in my Apple Arcade game rankings.
Okay.
But I'm playing through Shinseki right now, which is the Capcom Metroidvania.
I just started playing Grindstone. That game is fun.
Grindstone is awesome. But how are you using a controller?
Yeah.
Okay. So I got that up and working. And
I paired a controller to my iPad, which is, takes 2 seconds. It's crazy easy. I'm only doing it that way because I have the old Apple TV that won't let you, play games through an Apple TV. Otherwise I'd be playing it on Apple TV. It's great, man. Like people are
Shinseki's great.
Yeah. People are sleeping on that game. I think it's really good.
This
really
is the first I'd heard of it. So, but I will definitely check it out.
You play a little underwater man, but the ocean is very, foreign and sort of terrifying. And even the outfit he's wearing, he feels like a little bit more like you're in outer space. Like it's this very hostile world in which you're trying to survive and all the animals are trying to kill you.
No wonder you like Outer Wilds.
Yeah. And then you eventually get a submarine and feel very powerful. And it's got this nice sort of loop of like you cruise around in your sub, but then have to get out and go explore these areas where it doesn't fit. Get upgrades.
Capcom, huh? Capcom made a mobile Metroidvania.
Yeah, it seems very long too. Like I'm probably 5 or 6 hours into it and I suspect that I'm probably about halfway.
Well, all right. That's the next one to check out. But Mark, you like Grindstone?
Yes, that game's cool.
Grindstone is awesome,
and it's really fun when you do a lot and you just see him.
When
and
you
just
do
like,
a lot,
he's just like it's just satisfying.
The animations really are great.
It's great.
It's cute, weirdly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was also playing Choo Choo Rocket.
Yep, I played that Choo Choo Rocket. Yeah, fun. I was telling Justin earlier, it didn't blow me away, but
it's no, like solid. I played it for like a couple hours. Like cool.
It's like a 7 to me.
Download Tangle Tower.
Okay.
It's a really good detective game.
And that's what I love about like Apple Arcade is there's so many that it's just like, hey, here's a gem. Play it.
I'll send you a Google Doc.
Oh, really? Yeah, I didn't know you had one.
Oh
yeah. There's a Google Doc.
I played Shantae, but then I found out that it's more or less like a demo, but it was fun.
Is it not the full game?
It's chapter one.
It's chapter one with other chapters come later.
It's more than a demo, but it's not finished.
Yeah. Gotcha. That's interesting, though. All right, and that brings us to video game 20 questions. Our suggestion this week comes from Adam Woodhouse. He did not provide a location.
Is Adam okay?
The questioning begin.
He's in witness protection.
No. Maybe.
He's in a Woodhouse.
Oh,
Adam. Oh. I misread. Adam.
This
in,
is why grammar is important, everybody.
Yeah. That's true. Let the questioning begin.
Did this game come out before January 1st, 2000?
No.
Great.
Is it part of a series?
Yes.
Cool. Is it exclusive to one platform?
No.
Is this game on current-gen consoles?
It's
in any form?
Yes. Yes.
Hmm. That means it's got to be like a remaster or a reboot or something?
I don't know.
Not reboot.
Or could be something that is just like Xbox Arcade.
I'm going to go out of turn. Is this game a remaster or a reboot? Or a port?
Those are very different. The port or remaster, maybe.
What are you asking?
Is it a remaster, reboot, or port?
Fine.
Nope. That's five.
So that means it's still an active series, is what I'm going to guess. And I'm not going to ask that question. Mm. Do you play in the first person perspective?
No.
You said you asked if it was part of a series.
Yeah.
And he said,
and
yes.
I'm assuming it's active because it's on current gen in some form.
In some form. Oh, mm-hmm. Right. But I feel like, see, the way he said that, I feel like he would have been like, yes. But instead, he was kind of like,
yeah,
I know.
And then when Justin said in some form, he was like, okay, yes. That makes me feel like it's some sort of like,
but then it's not
PS2 classic or something.
But it's not. We explicitly asked.
Those games aren't remastered, though. Like, you can play an Xbox 360 game on your Xbox One if it's in the arcade. It's not remastered.
But I also said port.
Oh, well, yeah, I guess that would be a port, or, huh?
Well, your point that it could be an Xbox One backwards compatible game, which is basically everything now.
No, I guess so.
Sneaky Hatfield.
That's what they call him, Sneaky Hatfield.
Maybe the question, is it playable on current-gen consoles in some form, isn't terribly helpful.
Yeah. There's too many loopholes.
Okay. Sure.
Just blame us. I had a good one and now it's gone.
It's on multi-console.
Do you shoot weapons?
Yes.
Did we?
You shoot swords.
Was it first person?
You could. No, it's not.
You shoot swords and devil daggers.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, back off.
Chilling. Let's see.
I wonder if there's any other games where you shoot swords. Zelda 1.
That's true.
When it's charged up. Does this game take place on Earth?
No.
Mm.
Emphatic no.
Super no.
So it's super no sci-fi game.
Well, or fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
But you shoot guns.
Are there... Or RPG.
You don't shoot guns. I'm blacking out anything.
You shoot something.
Oh, God.
You shoot
Wait,
weapons.
Did you say you don't shoot?
No, you do shoot.
Oh, you do shoot. Yeah, you do shoot.
Got it.
Wait, did you ask first person and he said no?
And he said no.
A third person.
We need like a stenographer in here. Yeah.
Yeah. It feels particularly bad this week.
Yeah. Are there RPG elements?
Not really. No, you wouldn't think of it that way.
Okay. Hmm. So there's something that you can upgrade, like maybe buffs or something.
So it's not a Ubisoft game.
Yeah. Okay, not an RPG, not a shooter. Mm. Like first-person shooter, anyway.
Do you play as a human?
Yes. That's 10.
Do you pilot a vehicle?
Hmm. You definitely travel in a vehicle. Do you actually pilot one at some point?
Could be Mass Effect.
No, because that's an RPG.
I don't recall if you, like the player, actually control a vehicle at any point. I don't remember.
And you're a passenger in a vehicle.
And that's definitely not Mass Effect because you do it in there too.
Well, you pilot the Mako, but I was thinking about the Normandy. But you're right.
Right, yeah.
Were you asking if the character pilots a vehicle or if you, the player, does?
Do you, the player, use inputs to move a vehicle around?
I don't think so. I have no memory of
So we need like airship-based games.
No, but he said you don't move a game.
No, but like, you know, just overworld map stuff.
Mm, but no.
Well, it also could not be a space game. It could just be a fantasy or...
Mm-hmm. Is this a sci-fi game?
Yes.
All right. Whew.
Science fiction.
So hold on. So it's a game that's playable in current gen in some form, which, as Damon mentioned, not a particularly... but it did come out after 2000 either way. Sci-fi, third-person game where you shoot things. No real RPG elements. Could be Gears of War. Could be Gears of War 5. Because you have that skiff. Mm. Could be a Halo, probably. Although, Damon, you pilot the Warthog in Halo. And it's first person, so it can't be Halo.
Yeah.
Are you a superpower? Because for Gears.
Well,
for the Gears question.
Like, Gears technically doesn't take place on Earth.
Yeah.
But Damon gave a very emphatic no.
True. So maybe stay away from the
Gears
question.
It's Gears 2.
That's the one where you go in the giant worm.
Also, not exclusive. It's one of the first questions we
asked. Oh, that's right.
Right, I forgot about that one.
Was this game developed in the United States? Mm.
Yes.
I was going to ask if it's well-received, but...
You can ask if
it's
you
a,
want.
Yeah, but if it's a current series, probably. Maybe.
I didn't say it was a current series.
Yeah, you just said, is it a series?
Could be.
Oh, we're assuming that it's current. That's right.
Could be Blaster Master Zero. Although you clearly pilot your, what is it, a tank?
Yeah.
The master? I don't know.
Sophia is her name.
Okay. I don't know. I don't know Blaster Master lore.
It's far too deep and complex. I don't know.
This is bad news. I have no idea. I don't even know what to ask.
Does this game feature like modern looking 3D graphics?
Yes.
Good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Do we ask if it's open world?
No.
No, but wouldn't that indicate more RPG elements?
What are third person shooty sci-fi games?
Let's see. There is the what's the one?
Wow. There's one. Yeah. What's the one?
Man, what's the space ones?
It's developed. It's developed in the United States, which is a pretty good clue too.
Yeah,
it could be Dead Space.
That's
what I was thinking of. Is that first person?
Isn't it first person?
No.
Am I misremembering?
You see his back.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
And series, but not on current gen.
And that's not on Earth.
Dead Space 3 was.
Oh, was it?
And they may be backwards compatible. I don't even know.
No.
Is this series still active?
No.
It's probably Dead Space.
Could be.
That's the boss fight music.
So it was active in recent-ish memory, but is no longer active.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out how we can narrow this down to Dead Space.
Are there horror elements to it?
Yes.
Ooh.
It's Dead Space. It's Dead Space.
Does the studio... Is the studio still around?
No.
Got to be Dead Space.
Does it have...
But which one?
Does it have co-op?
No.
Then it's not 3.
I was going to say 3 did.
3 had co-op, so it's not 3.
Is it the is it the first game in a series?
Yes.
Is it Dead Space?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. On the 20th question.
Well, yeah, but we knew.
Well, yeah. You were just narrowing it down.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Dead Space is backwards compatible on Xbox.
Yeah, so that's what you meant.
I would assume it's playable somewhere. Yeah.
On it's probably in like PlayStation Now or something too. Yeah. I don't know. I don't really know.
Man, Dead Space 2 is the best though.
I like both 1 and 2 a lot. I probably prefer 1.
I've never even played any of the Dead Space games. I do not know how they popped into my
They're
brain.
Really good and terrifying.
What? I said, what's the space game? You knew where I was going. What's the space game? And then you said Dead Space. I thought you were building off of what I said.
Oh, yeah, because that was so very helpful.
I thought you were maybe thinking about Lost Planet or something, but I didn't want to go there.
Where'd you come up with Dead Space? It wasn't from me.
Third-person shooter.
Why would it be from you?
Because I said, what's the third-person space game? It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Space game. You are describing dozens of
We're
going to
go
games.
Back and watch on the tape where I said, what's that third-person space game? And then Justin, a second later, said, it could be Dead Space. And he's going to say that wasn't from me. Okay, that's fine.
I think we all earned this one.
No, it's fine.
I think the core of the misunderstanding here is when you say space game, you're thinking about a game that has space in the title.
Space invasion.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of.
But where it was, when I say third person space game, I'm thinking about space as a setting and a location.
Yeah. I was thinking like I knew space was in the title, but like I honestly have never played them, so I couldn't think of like.
So I would just like to share a Dead Space 2 anecdote.
Yeah, please.
Because I love Dead Space 1, and then Dead Space 2 was amazing and gorgeous and just built off of that. And I specifically, this is a nerdy thing, but I specifically really love the texture work in 2 when you go back onto the Ishimura and like there's just all this tarp everywhere and it's just like this very nostalgic but creepy sense of this place that you used to, you know, play through in Dead Space 1. And then I met the texture artist. I did not know he was the texture artist, but we were just talking about Dead Space and I was like, yeah, I really love the texture work. He's like, I'm the texture artist.
This was
early in my career, so I like freaked out about it a little bit.
Good job on that tarp.
That's what I said. It was really good looking. Go back and look at it. I spent a lot of time looking at it.
It's got to be a very good feel. Like every once in a while you see, like actually this just happened to me. I was talking about how much I liked the voice acting in Tangle Tower, and one of the voice actresses was like, oh.
Yeah, it's nice to be appreciated.
Yeah. I love Dead Space 1 and 2. I didn't even bother playing 3.
Mm. You did the right thing.
Yeah.
I reviewed Dead Space 3 for Kotaku when I was back there, and I convinced the editor-in-chief to let me review the co-op mode separately, because at least the co-op mode was somewhat useful in it.
What's the studio?
Visceral.
Yeah. I was at a World War II, Call of Duty World War II event with Michael Condry when that studio got shut down, and he was like, this is very... It's very weird. Although I think here's my new game.
I think on the first one they were known as EA Redwood Shores.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, it's a total bummer that series is just gone now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd love to have been playing multiple variations. I wish it had a life like Resident Evil. Yeah. Anyway, that's all the scoops we have for you this week. Remember, you can always reach us at the email address gamescoop@ign.com. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Tina. Thank you, Mark. My name is Damon. This is IGN GameScoop. And we're out.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.